This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rangers catcher Jose Trevino. How you doing, Jose?
Good. How you doing, guys?
We're doing great, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, you were on with Sean and RJ, and you took their Tolo exam, and we thought you did a great job with that. That was a great interview, but we still wanted to visit with you. There's a lot of things we want to talk to you. So you came up here. You're done for the day, and you came back to the stadium to do this. So thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay, I want to dive right in. There's a lot of different things I want to get into, but I don't know if everybody knows this about you, but you have won the Gold Glove as the best catcher in all of minor league baseball two times. Not once. You've done it two times, and that's for a guy who wasn't originally a catcher. You didn't come up through baseball as a catcher. Mm-hmm. Refresh everyone's mind here. When did you find out you were going to be a catcher, and tell us that story?
Well, I thought everybody didn't know that I was a Spurs fan, and I was going to mention that. We'll stay away from that.
We'll deal with it.
Yeah, we'll deal with it. So I got drafted. I think it was either a second baseman or a third baseman. I don't remember, but I know I got drafted, so we're good. I get to Spokane, Washington, and a coach there by the name of Riley Westman. This guy's just, like, juiced out of his mind. Like, hey, man, how you doing? Like, good to see you. You know, I'm Riley. And I'm like, all right, nice to meet you. And I'm like, I tried to be polite about it, but I was like, okay, like, what's your role? He's like, oh, I'm a catching guy. I was like, oh, man, nice to meet you. And he's like, I heard you done some catching. And I'm like, tried to do some catching. And he was like, oh, okay, well, here you go. And I was like, what is this? He was like, oh, it's a bag. I was like, it's heavy. He goes, yeah, there's catcher's gear. And I was like, what's it for? He's like, well, you didn't know you were going to be a catcher? And I was like, I thought I was just going to play the infield. And they're like, no, I think we're going to work you in a little bit. So I was like, oh, man, here we go. I was like, I don't have any gloves. And he was like, you have an agent? And I was like, yes, sir. And he goes, call him. Tell him you want two gloves here tomorrow. I was like, all right. So the first half of that short season, I was playing third. I have one game at shortstop, and I played second. And then the second half of that season, I caught like 30 games.
What year is this?
2014.
Oh, wow.
So
you've been pretty down the rabbit hole now.
I had to dig deep to start catching. It's tough. To convert, it's tough. It really is.
That's incredible, really though. Is. You not only converted, you became the best at your craft in all of minor league baseball. You're a humble guy, but what does it mean to you? What did it mean to you each time you won that award?
It just shows, you know, the hard work pays off, and I'm all about it. If we're going to do something, we're going to go all in. We're going to do it 100%. And I think I had a serious talk with myself, like literally with myself in a room. I was like, man, I can either stay an infielder and not play in the big leagues, or I can become a catcher and, you know, my chances are better. So sure enough, you know, I strapped the gear on and started blocking some baseballs. That was the toughest thing for me. So it's the first thing I addressed.
How do you feel you are at it now?
If you were to wake me up in the morning and say, like, hey, we got blocking, I'd roll up my sleeves and say, all right, let's do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I like it. I love it, actually. I don't like it. I love it. I love the position. I love everything that comes with it, too.
What's the best aspect of being a catcher? Because there's more that goes to that, I think, than any position.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the game. Yeah. Like, and all the eyes aren't on you, but they're on you, mm-hmm. whether people know it or not. Like, all eyes are on the pitcher. The pitcher throws the ball, he has to throw it to a catcher. So the catcher catches it, throws it back. So every time the eyes are on you, you know, and we talked about this before, the conversion counts, you know, 1-1 count, 0-0 count. Like you have the power to stick a pitch that's on the outside corner and bring it back to the strike zone, umpire call it a strike, and it's an 0-1 count rather than a 1-0 count. And the chances of the hitter getting a base hit or his batting average in those counts goes from, you know, 170 to 280. So that kind of different stuff is good. So, yeah.
Was Siri just giving us stats on conversion
rates? She was doing something. I don't know what that was.
She loves analytics.
I'm drawing a blank here. What was the Rangers pitcher who just you were catching him even while you were rehabbing from your injury? He was the closer who retired.
Tolleson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tolleson. Yeah, that's right. Sean Tolleson. Yeah. Tolly. We bumped into him at Jared Sandler's charity event, and he was raving about you, and he said, man, in the off season, Catchers don't want to go catch more baseballs. They catch baseballs year round, so it's hard to get a real catcher in the organization to come catch your bullpens in the off season. But Jose has caught every bullpen I've thrown as he was trying to get back in the game.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow. So he was like, I can't even. This guy is unbelievable. But then I said, well, what do you like about him as a catcher? What's he good at? And man, his face lit up, and he goes, I've never seen anything like it. The way he receives the ball. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, well. So if I throw a ball that's coming hard across the plate and has a chance to be outside the strike zone, he has the ability to softly catch it without it moving his glove 1 inch out of the strike zone. In fact, he just ever so slightly catches it smoothly and maybe pulls it in just a slight bit, and he's one of the best at framing pitches I've ever seen. And he just talked about how you've got this ability, and we've talked to you about it. There's footwork, there's throwing out runners, there's blocking, there's framing, there's receiving, there's knowing every pitcher, knowing your guys inside out, as a counselor, as a technician, knowing every batter that's coming out, and then having the strategy in game to do all those things. Mm-hmm. So why would anybody ever put themselves through being a catcher? There's a lot to it.
I think growing up, I never played football until I was in seventh grade, and I was like a receiver and a cornerback. Nobody throws a football in seventh grade. So I'm over there like tackling people, and I'm like, you know what, maybe football's not for me. Next eighth grade year, something happened to our starting quarterback, and they're like, you play baseball? I was like, yeah, a little bit. And they're like, can you throw? Yeah. So that's when you start throwing the ball. I was like, all right, I'm the quarterback. So it comes freshman year. I'm at a new high school, and we don't have football yet. We're going to have football sophomore year. So I'm like, I'm not going to play football. Sure enough, sophomore year comes around. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on baseball, guys, like all this stuff. I go to the first pep rally, and I'm like, I need to play football. I just got pumped up for some reason. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I need to start hitting some people. And it's not that I feel like I'm a football player out there, but, like, getting hit. We were talking about this the other day, like, getting hit in the mask or, like, having to play at the plate, like, that just gets you going. You block a ball, and it stays in front of you. A guy doesn't advance. It's like, man, that's awesome. So you find those kind of those feelings around the game, and it's just – the kind of stuff just pumps me up a little bit.
Where did you grow up?
Corpus Christi, Texas.
Okay, Corpus, that's right. And it doesn't really matter where you are in Texas. It's going to be football, football, football. Here's some baseball, football.
Yeah.
So I could see going to the pep rally and being, you know what, I've made a wrong decision here. Yeah. There's a lot of love for football.
Yeah, my mom and my dad were like, you know what, you probably shouldn't be on the field. You know, why don't you just try punting? I was like, no, I think I like to hit people, so yeah.
What talking to Jose Trevino here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So your child is not quite one yet, right?
No, he is. What's today?
7 months?
Fifth? He's going to be 9 months pretty soon.
9 months pretty soon.
Yes.
Because that happened in season.
Yes.
Right after you were called up, right?
Before.
It happened before you were called up.
5 days before I was called up.
Yeah, take us through that story again, because I can't remember the full details.
I was in Frisco. And I remember our trainer at the time, Jacob Newburn, was like, hey, just let me know when it's baby time and we'll go. And sure enough, after one of the games, we could tell it was getting kind of close. And girlfriend was like, hey, I'm not feeling too well. And I'm like, okay, well, she's like, no, just go back to sleep. She let me sleep, which was awesome. And then like 5 or 6 in the morning, she goes, hey, I'm having some pain. I think we need to go to the hospital. I was like, okay. So I get up, and she had done her makeup, she had done her hair, everything. So I went to the hospital, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's baby time. So I end up calling the guys. I'm like, hey, you know, like, I'm not going to be there tonight. Like, we have a baby on the way. They're like, oh, okay, cool. So then he's born on the 10th, and I asked my girlfriend. I was like, hey, can I go back and play already? Like, are we good? She's like, yeah, go ahead. So I go back. I missed a couple days. I think it was 2 days. 2 days I think I missed, 3 days maybe. Came back, played a couple games, feeling all right at the plate, feeling good behind the plate, you know. And then sitting in my truck, talking to our peak performance coach, and he's just like, hey, what's going on? Just catching up. And I start getting a bunch of phone calls. Mikulik, our manager's calling me. A bunch of guys from the front office are calling me, and I'm like, something's going on. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm like, hey, man, I got to go. Like, I think something's going on. And then one of my buddies – Chuck Mormon, he calls me and says, hey, man, you need to get down to the clubhouse right now. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. So I get in the clubhouse, and there's a phone laying on the table, and it's Jace Tingler. And he goes, hey, you know, Robbie has suspension, and we need an extra catcher. You know, we're going to call you up tonight. And I was like, oh, man. And my mom was in town. My girlfriend's mom was in town. And my baby boy was home already. So I went to the field, got some stuff, went back to my apartment, got my Rangers bag with my Rangers colors, equipment, stuff, so I can not just go over there with maroon gear. So I get to the apartment, and they're like, what are you doing here? I picked up my bag and they're like, you're going. And my mom like freaked out.
That's awesome.
I was like, wait, but like, I'm going to be back in Frisco tomorrow. And I remember as soon as I was leaving the Frisco clubhouse, I was like, guys, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Cause that's all they kept telling me was, you're going to be in Frisco's lab tomorrow. And I'd be like, oh, okay, you're going to be. And they just kept shooting it at me. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, just let me go. So I get up there and I'm almost running out of gas. And then I'm like, oh man, I'm not going to play tonight. There's no way. Like, I start going through all these scenarios, and then all of a sudden, like, I get halfway there, and I'm like, I think I'm going to play. Second inning, unfortunately, Carlos Perez, like, rolls his ankle at the plate, and before they could even call on me, I was already had my gear on stretching, and I was like, all right, here we go. So I had no time to be nervous, but, you know, I get in the game, and I'm looking around, I'm like, man, this is a dream come true. Like, you see the big screens and people everywhere, and, you know, it's hot. It's a day game. Yep. So, It was awesome. And then the next day, obviously, I get my first start, get my first hit. And then the next day, the Father's Day walk-off.
Yeah, that was game. That was your third game.
That was my third game.
On Father's Day.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it was the craziest probably week of my life. It was, yeah. I personally think we should get like a movie going or something.
Yeah,
I think
it'd be pretty good. But yes.
It'd be pretty cool.
The call up.
We want to see them.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, we think there's other chapters to the story that are going to be even better. So we're excited about the future. Jose Trevino joining us in person here, Rangers catcher. And I want to ask you about this. We were with Isaiah Quiros. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Quiros.
Q. And we were visiting with both you and him. And man, it was so fun to listen to you guys talk. And we were talking about some of the nuance of the position and how each aspect of it requires so much detail and attention, and really, it's really hard to focus on all these things. And then, oh yeah, by the way, go be a 300 hitter because you're so busy with all this stuff, you know. And obviously, there's outliers, guys who can do it all. Mm-hmm. But there was a signing the Rangers had, or I was at a trader signing. They got Jeff Mathis this offseason,
free agent signing.
And I remember thinking, I looked at his average, and I was like, his average isn't very good, but, man, I hear good things about him as a catcher. It wasn't until last night that I truly understood, because you and Isaiah are both very respected tacticians when it comes to being receivers, like unbelievably respected throughout the organization. And you guys were talking about Jeff Mathis like he was a god. Can you explain that to our listeners?
I call him the wizard. It's pretty impressive, like, what he does back there. You know, and you know how Tolley was talking about how my hands, I bring the ball back. Jeff is, like, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll catch a ball, and it'll be on the wide of the batter's box, and it's like, umpire just call it a strike. Why? It's like, oh, it's in the middle of his body. He wasn't trying to trick anybody. He just, like, has a little movement. It's like, strike. And it's like, wow, man, that's awesome. But there's a lot that goes into it. Like I was talking about earlier, the conversion counts. You know, and the main thing, We can never get it wrong. The main thing is our defense. Like, if we miss a block, a guy advances, you know, a runner steals, we miss a play at the plate, we mess up a bunt play, we don't know a pick. There's plenty of things that could go wrong. We take a lot of pride in that, but it doesn't show on our stats. It shows on the pitcher's stats. So that's the toughest thing about it is, like, when a pitcher gives up a hit as a catcher, you feel that. You're like, man, like, and that's your guy out there. Like, that's your buddy. He's trying to make a living. He's trying to make as much money as possible. And it's like, man, we don't – and if we lose, it's even worse. Now we're letting everybody down. So we take a ton of pride in that kind of stuff. And, you know, knowing the pitcher, knowing his strengths, knowing his weaknesses, and then knowing the hitter, knowing the whole team, knowing the bullpen, everything has to flow. And you control all that. I mean, from the tempo of the game, you can slow it down, you can speed it up, you can do a lot of things behind the plate. And Jeff Mathis does a really good job at all of that. And it's just trickling down to everybody, so it's good.
When were you at the point, you know, we were talking about 2014 when you make the change. When were you at the point where you were comfortable with all of those responsibilities?
I would say 2016, I would say I was fully comfortable. But I came into spring training 2015 ready. But I didn't know what to expect of myself. Like, I had just been blocking off. I got some signing bonus money. I built a batting cage in my backyard and bought a pitching machine. And I just went at it. Like, I was like, okay, I can't just have my buddies throwing baseballs at me and me blocking them. Like, I need something, like, with some speed. I need to actually start testing myself. So that ended up happening. And then the second half of 2015 was when I was like, man, I'm okay at this. Like, I think I have the hang of this. And, of course, you're going to get those balls where they go right between your legs. You miss a block. Or, you know, you mess up a throw to second base. But you learn from those kind of things. And that's the good thing about catching is, like, we put so much pressure on ourselves. But when we do it right, it's awesome. But when we do it wrong, we're like, oh, okay, I know what I did.
Right.
So it's just like any other position.
All right, before we let you go, you had surgery on your left shoulder?
Left posterior labrum, yes.
Okay, so very similar to DeMarcus Lawrence.
What?
Yeah.
So you had torn labrum?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long did it take? Are you fully back 100%?
I'm fully back 100%.
How long did it take you?
June. What happened in June? Happened June 20th. I had surgery July 20th. So June. 6 months? Around 6 months. It was, the therapy was hard. It was tough. It was a tough therapy. But thank God for the people at TMI and Regan Wong. I call him Jedi. Oh, man.
But you're a Cowboy fan. Does that worry you about DeMarcus Lawrence?
He's a tank, right? He'll be all right.
What do you need that labrum for more, throwing back to the pitcher or swim move?
Probably a swim move. Well, mine's my left shoulder, so I don't need but for him, depends what kind of technique. Maybe we'll get DeMarcus Ware to come back if he doesn't sign.
Awesome stuff.
Dude, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. We love visiting with you.
Thank you. And thank you for being a Tolo. Thank you for listening to the station, man.
No, no problem.
It's an honor to have you on board. All right, there he goes. Jose Trevino, one of our favorite players for the Texas Rangers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.